You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Which community is the most toxic? Are we worried about crypto regulation amid this bear market? Did Jeff Ma take it too far on this most recent Bet the Process podcast? That's what we're discussing today on Lulz.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Ryan, is this chat true? Did you win $100,000 last night?
It is true.
Wow. You seem so happy, grinning ear to ear. It's almost like you're not a hardened veteran who does this for a living and doesn't feel anything when they have a nice score.
Yeah, it's true. still don't think I'm having a winning NBA season, if that makes you feel any better.
It doesn't make me feel better, Brian. I want you to have a winning NBA season.
Buddy. I might be winning at this point.
But it hasn't been a smash year for you.
It's been all right. Yeah, I guess. No, it has been a smash year. No.
Yeah. Are you having the highest ROI on FanDuel?
No.
No.
I don't play FanDuel a ton.
But when I do, I bank a tournament.
Exactly. Yeah. FanDuel kind of pisses me off, so I don't play there a ton. I guess I just play their one big one. That's it.
Okay. What do they do that pisses you off specifically these days?
I can't remember. What were they doing before? They've always had problems. You couldn't change your CSV. That would break a bunch of times. They've had other things too. I can't remember.
MJ referencing the payout structure.
Yeah. Yeah. They suck unless you win.
Yeah.
Then they're great.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is on everything, right? They're awesome until you win, in which case, yeah, put all the money right up top.
Everything in the top, whatever I finish.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. I played MMA over the weekend, and we had the classic thing, fight scratched after lock. And then casuals claiming that they wish there should be late swap. Is that just like the oldest tale in DFS? People wanting late swap, but not realizing you don't want late swap there because that wouldn't be good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they would flip out if they switched it back to no late swap, I think. and it's a bigger negative for them than being able to switch out that one guy, you know, twice a year when that happens.
I guess though, it's a little different for MMA, right? Where like the pros advantage for late swap would be far, far greater in NBA.
MMA would be pretty big too.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. But you can't do it in NBA MMA because the fight times aren't static.
Right.
You don't know when they're for sure going to start the next fight, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be tricky. But I'm just thinking like with NBA, right? Like when there's a scratch, like that affects all these other projections. I guess you're saying that just the way that the dynamics with the salary and stuff, it would change kind of like how the slate would be simulated out.
I'm saying like you could switch your guys to give yourself a better shot later on based on what occurred earlier.
Right. Take on more of a low owned guy and line up with buried and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'd have a bigger accurate picture of ownership after the first three fights. and the edge would be that 95% of the other people aren't doing that.
Right. Right. All right. What? Yeah. OA says late swap sucks. Having to stay close to your comp all night for NBA. I miss when FanDuel didn't have late swap. Yeah. I mean, I've said this on the show before. Like, I can't even. And you were mentioning Ricky D stop playing NBA. I mean, the amount of work in being at your computer, it's even for the pros who know what they're doing, it's just a massive time commitment.
Alex toned down his NBA this year, finally. That's the one. Yeah. If you want to save time, NBA is the one you got to get rid of.
Yeah.
In your arsenal.
Yep. I wonder if you know, big time players are scaling back, you know, not doing as much, do you think the sites ever evolve? Obviously maybe not having late swap, or, you know, focusing more on showdown, single game showdown contests with the biggest prize pools, trying to like cater more to what the people are telling them.
That's interesting. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe they'll switch to something else. Speaking of late swaps, did you see that we had a COVID game in baseball?
No. What happened?
Yeah. Today the morning slate was, four games, and the Sox Cleveland game got canceled to COVID.
Really?
Yeah.
And did it screw over a ton of people?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. There's only in a four gamer, I'm sure 25% of the field, 40% of the field got screwed.
Man, I feel like the Twitter algorithm for me now, I don't. Like I have it just set for like top tweets. So it's like whatever Twitter's showing me, like I don't see it in, you know, reverse chronological, and like NFT and crypto markets have just taken over my feed. So I feel like I'm lucky if I get a DFS tweet these days. Like normally I get linked to like a DFS conversation. I'm kind of upset about it because I'd love to like tell Twitter, all right, I want, you know, 30% DFS. I want 30% crypto and NFT, 30, whatever. And like, I feel like my feed is like 95% NFT shit right now.
That is a good idea. I like that. So that makes me think about this. Elon had like a whatever 3-page memo on what he plans to do with Twitter. Did you see this?
I didn't see the memo. I saw like the headline that he plans to reinstate Trump or whatever.
Oh yeah, I think this was before that one, but it was something. Maybe he had to do it for the banks or something. He's like, you know, he said he wants to get rid of the bots, blah blah blah. I didn't read it either. I just heard this secondhand. But anyways, and then at the bottom, it's like, so he wants to get rid of the bots. He wants to do this, and then he wants to implement Project X, but he doesn't want to say what that is. So what if you had a guess? I have a guess. And like that would be a cool one, what you just said, but what do you think he's planning on implementing?
I mean, my guess would be some kind of pay to play thing, you know, like an extension of Twitter Blue, maybe it's rolling back features, like you just features where you already have that you have to pay. I mean, don't you think at this point he's already immediately thinking, how can I generate revenue here for our stockholders and find better ways to monetize this? Or do you think that's not his primary goal right now?
No, I would say that's not his primary goal. Since he's going private, I'm assuming he wants to build up as much hype for the 3 years from when he's going to launch back on the market, so it just goes insane.
Okay.
And so you eat it, you eat it now, and you make it the coolest thing ever or whatever, and then go public again. I was, my guess, and this is probably wrong, but this is more me wishful thinking, I think, is add, video.
Oh, like live streaming?
Yeah. YouTube.
Well, hey, what do you mean by YouTube?
Just it's Twitter, but it also has YouTube on it. You could, and your followers can watch your videos on Twitter.
So basically you're saying like blend their kind of old Periscope approach with kind of like the current spaces. So it's like when you're live streaming, it would like show up at the top of the feed for people to kind of tap in.
I'm like literally saying copy YouTube.
That seems like, but how would, I'm wondering how does that fold into the current user experience interface?
Because then you don't need to put links to your YouTube account. You just have your Twitter followers right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, this is my show's on at 7 o'clock and just click the button.
Yeah. I mean, they do have the, cause they had Periscope and now they still have their like Twitter streaming feature. I stopped using that a while back. I know some people still use it just because I wanted to drive people to YouTube because I thought there was kind of like more value there long term. But if they had like good mechanisms for like growth and advertising and stuff, it could make it definitely more attractive for people.
And the reason I'm thinking that there is a, you know, 1% chance, admittedly, of that being the Project X is if he could still sell it as this free speech issue, so that these video platforms are kicking off all these people. Well, here we're not going to kick you off.
Mm-hmm.
And so take some of that market share.
I think one thing that also would need to happen with that, and one thing that I think Twitter really needs to build out, is its ability to like search and index stuff. I mean, because when you think about it, like I'll often search Twitter for specific things before I even search Google. I mean, like they're sitting on kind of like a goldmine of real-time content, and the same with like the video stuff. But like if I'm trying to find like content from a Spaces or something, like that's impossible to search for. Like I can't find archive Spaces. I feel like that would dovetail with video too, and why Google and YouTube are so strong in that regard is because their search and indexing is incredible, and Twitter would really have to invest in that.
That's true. That, or they could buy I don't know what the platform. Well, I guess there's what? Odyssey, Rumble. What are the alternatives? I don't even know. Twitch. They're probably too big to buy at this point. But you could just buy one.
Yeah.
And then bring that in. Because, like, if you look at the SPAC for Trump, I don't know what it's at now. Everything's worthless at this point. But when he first started, we're all broke. But after he first started, it was worth billions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rumble's worth a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
And the reason they have such a big audience is because of censorship. Like no one would care. They use it as a marketing tool to get people over there. And so if he's trying to make money, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they already, like to your point, I mean, when you, the Twitter algorithm suppresses anything that links out, right? Like they want you to stay on Twitter. Like when I do, you can look at tweets. If I link out to a show on YouTube or a video, it does not perform near as well because they don't circulate it. They want you to stay on the platform. Whereas like if you natively upload a video to them, then they're happy to show it around and to get it going. And so,
what do you care too? Like if like, it's like, okay, if it's the exact same thing, hypothetically, and people can watch it on Twitter and you get ad revenue or whatever, you have 8,000 people who can now quickly go watch your videos somehow if they, you know, set it up where it's like just a tab at the top between classic Twitter and video Twitter.
Yeah. I reject this premise from Nick. Twitter could be YouTube for adults. No more D-bag thumbnails. Human psychology and what compels people to click is a universal thing that is completely platform agnostic. You can go to TikTok. You can go to Instagram. You can go to Facebook. It does not matter where. You have to play the game to get people to click on your stuff.
How do you get more adult than naked yoga?
Yeah, I'm sure Elon would help us get our naked yoga keywords indexed on going around. How spooked are you right now with crypto regulation in this current landscape, specifically with the whole UST stuff?
I mean, I've always thought it was coming, so I still think it's coming.
Yeah.
Yellen. I saw Yellen. I don't even look at stuff anymore. Right. It's like Janet Yellen comments on the Luna attack.
Yeah.
And it's I saw like, the I'm headline. I know what it is. I know what she wants.
Yeah.
It's what, like, why even quite? It's like, hey, regulator, what do you think about this industry? Should we regulate it? You know, Mike in front of him. I think we should regulate it. Oh, okay. Wow. What change things up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess is this the golden goose for them? This UST depegging story, like is this the one that they're ready to go to battle with as the prime example of why crypto is the devil?
I would say not, because I can't even explain it to somebody. So they're probably just as lost.
Yeah.
But they don't need to understand it to make a propaganda campaign about how bad things are and that only they can step in and save it.
Yeah. If you guys are looking for an explainer, Andy last night walked us through it on Club Top Shot, both the kind of technical mechanism that caused the depegging and then some kind of, I guess there's a conspiracy theory out there of this Citadel group that might've actually been triggering
Citadel,
this.
Yeah.
Citadel. So you could check that out if you'd like.
Citadel's the Ken Griffin company, I believe, and okay. he's big Chicago billionaire guy.
I've heard
some stories about him.
I clicked on the article. I know you said you weren't going to click on it, seeing what she said. She pointed to the recent run on the stablecoin as evidence of the potential threat to financial stability posed by unregulated cryptocurrency markets. A stablecoin known as TerraSUD experienced a run and declined in value, Yellen said. I think it simply illustrates that this is a rapidly growing product and that there are risks to financial stability, and we need a framework that's appropriate. As Dylan says here, that's not even that bad.
I mean, she says they needs to be regulated. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think you'd get much worse, honestly. Like,
yeah, I mean, on the other hand, it's like, right there, whoever is doing this regulation is not going to understand the differences between the Terra Ponzi and other more, reasonably constructed stable coins, I guess.
It's the whole myth of regulation where, yeah, if there was a scenario where this entity comes in and perfectly controls things in the interests of the citizens, like, of course, yeah. How can anyone reasonable say, no, we shouldn't do that? But when does it turn out like that?
Yeah.
No, never, basically. They can't fill the potholes on your fucking street, but they're going to be experts on this thing that even we can't explain what happened with Terra accurately, you know? Like, these 80-year-olds can.
I feel like it's almost too simple, right? Like how I would explain this to, it's like, if you're getting APYs that are greater than 7 to 8% on your asset, there's probably a lot of risk involved or a house of cards element. Like once you're up in that 20% range, and then obviously we've seen even more absurd.
Oh yeah.
APYs and some of the decentralized finance. It's like, you know, buyer beware at that point. If it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. And you're playing a hot potato game.
Yeah. I mean, yes, we said that like 2 years ago, I think, when we first started. Like, I don't think 43% farming yields is sustainable here.
Yeah, I guess the brutal thing though is, are there people? So when you think about regulation, do you think there are going to be people who come out of that were say UST bag holders? Like, I'm just trying to think through of the use case. Like, if you're a whale in UST, like you probably know what you're getting into, right? Like who's forming the lawsuit that's non-regulatory, like the private lawsuit of being like, these guys screwed me over and that's going to draw massive attention to this. I'm just wondering where that Venn diagram is of the innocent person who got screwed over by chasing 20% yields in their stables.
So, but isn't there actually someone to sue with these stable coins? There's like a whole, that LFG foundation or whatever.
Yeah, and there's Terraform Labs, I think, is one of their...
I think those are real people. So yeah. That's another thing, too, with a lot of regulations is they're like double counting. Like there's already a law against it. They just need to actually enforce it. It happens all the time. And I would have guessed that some of these things are here. Like if you got screwed over somehow, even though it's in the cryptocurrency world, if it's an actual entity, they can't just screw you over with, you know, without you, without some way of suing them.
Yeah. Alex Baker wants us to talk about toxicity. Alex, this is what we call an old bait and switch clickbait. You click on the title for the toxicity, and then we're talking about Janet Yellen.
I mean, I'm not sure there's a difference on the toxicity there.
Well, yeah, someone said the answer to the title was, where was it up here? Here it is. Luna. The answer to the show title is Luna. Luna has the most toxic community right now. I assume they are feeling pretty toxic.
I can't blame them. They kind of got screwed there.
The inspiration for the title was from this tweet that Brian put up the other day. Who has the worst, however you define worst, community in gambling? And I decided to define it as the most toxic, Brian.
Yeah, I should have done that for the brand. It's pretty crazy that they get the exact amount of votes for poker and sports betting for a tie out of 1,600 people.
How much of a how representative or fair distribution do you think your polling audience here is compared to how much it skews?
Not fair at all. and I don't care about being fair.
Yeah.
I knew, obviously, I would figure DFS would be lower. But, you know, not necessarily true. Maybe people follow us, but they hate, you know, Run Pure, or they hate XYZ, you know? Maybe they hate – it's not like we're touts.
Jeff,
the
Ma,
worst thing on the planet.
we are going to talk about that. But, I look at us innocent best ball bros here holding it down. You said our big winner was ship chasing here.
Yeah, the best ball bros. And I didn't have enough characters, but I was trying to fit Dynasty in there too. And I guess that the Dynasty world is a little toxic.
This is what the Dynasty world is. The Dynasty world is toxic positivity, I'd almost say, where it's almost like overly like puritanical, like in a positive toxic way is how I would categorize it.
Okay. Yeah. But ship chasing comes out, aces here, DFS, maybe a little biased. I would have definitely gone sports betting number one.
I would too. And I mean, I agree with Davis's take. Poker players are the most miserable. And I mean, it's not even close, right? For like the amount of beefs come out of poker more than any other industry.
But at least it's entertaining.
It is entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah. Where the sports betting's just like, disgusting. It's brutal. Because
there's never any, like, at least with poker, they like put their nutsacks on the table and they're like, let's go heads up for rolls. Like in sports betting, like, is anyone doing a sports betting competition? Shout out DraftKings. I mean, like, who's going head to head putting their nutsack on the table over a sports betting beat?
Why even have a sports betting community? I don't understand it at all. Like, they hate each other so much. And it's like, and their reaction to anything doubting is so extreme. It's like if they were talking to each other and one of them's like, you know, I really like the Bears tomorrow. And the other guy's like, don't tell me. Like, what are you guys like? Who gives a shit? Like, calm down.
That's what made me so mad listening to the Bet the Process podcast recently. For those of who didn't check it out, I know a lot of people, we probably have a decent amount of overlap of listeners of Lulz who listen to that show as well. But Jeff Ma like came down on Rufus really, really hard, you know, basically calling him a massive hypocrite for, you know, giving his model and projections as part of the ETR golf product this year. And of course, the context there is Rufus has been historically anti-tout over the years. I felt like he was put under attack and didn't necessarily defend the differences between like just providing projections and actually touting and how much nuance there is with that relative to DFS and how that's not the secret sauce. Brian could give me his projections for every single sport and it would not fucking matter unless he wants to give me his entire simulation process too. Then I could probably do decent. So it's like, I felt like that was short-sighted, but man, I thought Jeff, like the holier than thou kind of posturing from some of these sports betting guys is just fucking absurd.
Yeah, it's crazy. Jeff clearly doesn't know anything about DFS. To say that like projections is touting, like you're putting up a number on a player. Like, I still don't see how in like the context of DFS, like how people use projections, that it's touting at all. I'd like to get a uniform definition of what a tout is out of these people too. Like, okay, yeah. What is it? Because mainly like a tout, like the way it seems like that they portray it is Vegas Dave. It's just like right. A complete charlatan who's giving out numbers that no one knows is real. Right. And then their best definition of a tout is someone who's giving out numbers, but you can't hit them fast enough.
Right.
And it gives people no credit at all for being able to decipher any of this stuff themselves and want to just gamble for fun and just maybe gamble, bet against the person, or they don't care. They just want to pick a side of a game they're going to watch, and they want someone to throw them aside to root for.
Or like you can take it a step further. And there was a thread going on, like Justin Freeman, Nelson Adcock, Jordan Cooper were all in this thread. And those guys were talking about how they use it as basically a shortcut for their process. They don't make their own projections, but they use someone else's projections. And then that moves them along in their process to, you know, their game theory, their MMA, however their own process, the secret sauce to get their lineups out there. And it's like, there's lots of ways you can use this, or to your example, just as casual people who want to like get it in relatively good. That's how I often am with my sports bets. It's like, I don't think I have a massive edge, but I want to make sure I'm not like getting it in bad per se.
So like you see a lot of DFS guys like Davis will say like, I like the Royals, you know, -125.
Yeah.
Occasionally he'll throw a bet out there. Like, is that touting too? It's like,
to me,
who cares?
Who gives a fuck? To me, like, I guess how I would define touting would be selling specific plays or lineups is like how I would personally, like if I were buying a DFS lineup from someone, that's a fucking tout to me.
Okay.
Like, it, and I feel like that's the analogous thing to getting a Vegas Dave whale play, right? It's like saying there's no thought, you're going to this thought leader and you're getting the goods from them.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of transactional nature to it is what feels touty to me.
I would say it's like those guys who impersonate me and Alex and Chipotle Brothers on Twitter that we can't get banned. They're doing what you said. They're giving people lineups, but they're clearly making them up, right?
Yeah.
Or they're, who knows, maybe they pay for a sub at Osmo and they make a couple lineups and just hand them out. That would be the best sports betting, like Ponzi scheme, is you give one guy one and one guy another, and then
yeah,
hopefully one of them wins and they come back. Anyways, that would be my definition of a DFS tout, is knowingly giving out shit lineups. Right. Because if petty theft, someone said petty theft in the chat, gives you an NBA lineup, like you should probably play it. You know what I mean? Well, it probably won't win because most GPP lineups don't win, but yeah, like that's not a tout.
No. OA says, is this from a podcast, the Jeff Ma Rufus take? Yes, the Bet the Process podcast. They generally record.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
About once a week. This was kind of a follow-up. You know, ever since ETR launched the product in conjunction with Rufus, they've had a few different references to it. I got the vibe that, like, you know, there is I always forget the name of that sub community within sports betting, the Seville. Was that it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Which has this extremely holier than thou, anti-tau, you know, purist like sports betting ethos. But like, I do not see the difference. I legit do not see the difference in what Jeff is accusing Rufus of him going on Tony Kornhauser's show and giving out spread picks. He might say, well, I'm not selling it, but they are selling it. The cost is offset by the advertisers of the program. He is selling. He is in exchange. Instead of taking money for his picks, he's taking clout for his brand. Like, what's the fucking difference of going, say, hey, take Florida -7 this week, and Rufus giving his DFS projections to ETR? There's no fucking difference. Get off your high horse.
I would say in their world, like the Seville absolutist world, Jeff's even worse.
Yes, it is, because you're not, there's no imagination. There's no game theory. You're putting it on a platter for someone.
Yeah. So for the, like, Jeff Maas who don't play DFS, you would just take Rufus's numbers as like a base. And then the ownership that I believe Levitan said on our pod that he does, right? I think he does the ownership, or sometimes Cody does them, right? But whatever. So they provide both of those things for you, and you would kind of take those and come up with your own process, be it a simulation like I do it, or using Fantasy Cruncher or some optimizer, or your own little thing in Excel, who knows, to come up with some sort of strategy to be better than the field.
Yeah.
You're not just taking Rufus's numbers and printing money. It doesn't work. I've used his numbers the last 2 weeks. I can tell you this much. It's not printing money, Rufus.
I've aggregated the best ownership projections, the best projections for multiple sports, and I'm still like barely a break even DFS player. Like, it's not the secret sauce. It's just a piece of the puzzle.
Right. Yes. And like, some of the arguments I heard is like, there's already data out there. So he's not providing value because there's already data out there and they're charging $600 or whatever. And first of all, like $600, that's like one buy-in to the high stakes at DFS, right? That's one entry. So it's not that much for a lot of DFS players.
Yeah.
But his numbers last week were significantly different than the rest of the industry.
Yeah.
So he clearly could be providing plenty of value.
And I think Rufus is actually even more of an anomaly for a quote unquote DFS tout, if we're going to use that language, in that we all know Rufus is a winning sports bettor.
Right.
I could be wrong, but the times I've heard him, I believe he just like dabbles in DFS. He does not consider himself a professional DFS player. And what he is doing is giving his model, which is still like the baseline inputs. And then they're able to take that and turn those into DFS projections and stuff like that. But like, it's not like he's even, you know, some people it's like, well, why would you give away your DFS plays if you're the DFS player? It's like, Rufus doesn't even play this professionally. Right. It's just like, hey, I have this thing. This might be mutually beneficial. This works out for both of us. You guys can double dip this. He's still not even giving his model to them early in the week. He's not getting front run on his bets. Like, this is just like a cherry on top thing for him of like, hey, when I'm done with it, you guys want to use this for your purposes? Knock yourself out. It's one of the most like harmless things I've seen in like DFS touting and projections, that the fact that it's even an issue is insane. Yeah.
You're right. It's the exact opposite, because he's not using it. Like, they can't even make any of those dumb claims they make against regular DFS personalities. Like, oh, you're just trying to get me on this player, and then you're going to play somebody else. Have you ever seen that conspiracy theory?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And they have all, it's like, no, he's not even playing, but we know he's a professional because he does it in sports betting. It's like the best of both worlds, and he can make some extra money, which there's nothing wrong with that. And then all of us benefit who want to use it.
Yeah.
It's a good situation where multiple people benefit. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And like with Jeff and Rufus's relationship, not that I have any business commenting on it, but I'm gonna anyways. It's like it seems like Rufus isn't very good at like defending himself.
Yeah.
And Jeff is not very charitable as a friend.
No, it felt like the vibe I got from it, it was so uncharitable and so unforgiving that it felt like Jeff Ma is in these group chats hanging around the Seaville water cooler and then wanting to come back with this red meat for the boys. See what I did? See how I dunked on our guy? Isn't that cool? Everybody elbowing each other.
Yeah.
Not even realizing what a clown he came across as, because that argument was so disingenuous.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. What was he saying? Like, just admit that you screwed up and you're never going to do it again. And by the way, you know, I mean, not that like I've put time and money into now using Rufus's numbers. I've never used averages before. I have my whole own system, but if the guy I'm trying to copy is already giving his stuff out, I'll just use his. Not that he owes me anything, but there's plenty of people who put in time and effort. And so if he stops doing it, where's the morality in that, Jeff? Like, now I'm out money. Now I'm out stuff. You know what I mean? Like, not that Rufus owes me anything. I'm just trying to make a side point of the morality of all this. Like, okay, there's a lot of things going on here.
Yeah. And I thought it was so unfair, the spot he did of trying to get Rufus to sever his ties, his future ties with ETR right then and there on the spot. It's like, fuck right off. Like, that was so absurd. And again, Rufus not like defending himself properly. It's like, you don't owe anything to Jeff. Like, I do wish, kind of like Justin's saying here, that he didn't know how to defend himself. I really wish it almost illustrates the point even further. He is so not a DFS tout that he didn't even know how to articulate how wildly different DFS is from sports betting touting.
It's because he's not a DFS player.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. And he didn't, and if he was a charitable friend, he would look into it. And then realize, oh, maybe for DFS, this doesn't matter at all. It really, the value for ETR is it's a nice marketing thing to have Rufus on the team.
It's
like he's the perfect guy to get for PGA. We guessed it before it happened because it's so perfect. Everyone benefits. His numbers are probably slightly better, if not significantly better than the industry standard for now. But really, it's like a nice little marketing thing too, like for ETR. So like, you know, actually, I guess that kind of like backs up Jeff a little bit more. But like he clearly didn't understand. He doesn't understand DFS. And if he did, he would not act like that. Here's what I was thinking too. Maybe he was conflating in his head unabated and ETR all as one thing. I don't know what unabated's doing.
I believe they're more tools, right?
I think they're more tools.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just against anything like that. I don't know. And he's just saying, first you're doing unabated, now you're doing this DFS thing that I don't understand. You're just a tout. You're a full-on tout. And he just doesn't understand what's going on.
It's still just laughable in context of going on a show and giving out picks. Like, everyone in this ecosystem, whether it is tools, whether it is content, whether it is even picks and whale plays from Vegas Dave himself, it creates this ecosystem of interest and grows interest in sports betting. And to try to demarcate and go line by line of this is okay for helping this industry go, but this isn't, is completely hypocritical.
Yeah. And $600 is what? Like $15 a week? Something, I don't even know. That math was probably horrible, but whatever, something like that. So it's like, it's not that that's the difference, is like you going on Tony Kornheiser and $15 a week. One's just so much more unethical. If he was even giving out sides and totals picks, that can't possibly be profitable, which I'm assuming is what Jeff's doing.
Yeah,
by the time he's going on Kornheiser and someone hears that, that bet's not going to be good.
No. Yeah. And I mean, Lou saying ETR seems more touty than UA. Yeah, collectively for sure. But as far as what Rufus is doing for ETR, like Rufus, again, maybe I'm wrong. You tell me, Brian, I'm not a sub to the ETR golf product. does he write up their top plays? I assume that's Adam and the rest of the team that's taking those projections and writing up.
I never look at their top plays. I just want the data. But
you just want the data. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they do a show. I think, and I could be wrong, but I think
Pete and Rufus and Adam, right?
Yeah. But that's the same show that Bet the Process has done a million times. They would oftentimes do a PGA show where they just talk about the next event.
Yeah.
The event and like who Rufus thinks is going to do well.
Yeah.
But since they didn't charge $15 for that episode, it's morally justified.
Yeah. And it's so, and it goes like, who are you doing a podcast for, a sports betting podcast for? You're doing it for people who are interested in sports betting. In the same way people will jokingly come and turn on this show and they want Brick to release the Sims, release the plays. Like we do, I think, a similar type of show of them, and that we'll talk about industry things, gossip, whatever. And then we'll also talk about plays we like or game theory or tournaments or how we, because that's, I think, what our audience likes. They likes the different pieces of that. And it's just so weird to be like, oh, we want to do all these things. But then the second we start talking about plays, we've crossed a moral line that isn't serving our audience.
Yeah. And I almost think we're almost like, for the listener, just don't conflate these two things. I'm saying, and I'm sure Pete is too, Rufus did absolutely nothing wrong. Making projections is not touting. But also, like you purists, like get over yourselves. So like if someone wants to tweet out the Royals -125, that's totally fine. And people have different subjective reasons for doing certain things.
Yeah. Right?
Not everyone is a gambleaholic idiot who just looks at something and then puts a mortgage on their house and instantly goes to the casino.
Well, and it's like, come on, there are better targets to go after. You want to talk about Bill Simmons touting, you know, 8-leg single game parlays on his podcast that goes out to millions of people. Go ahead and go after Bill Simmons. We're going to go after fucking Rufus Peabody for selling at a $600 a pop his projection model to a boutique fantasy site. Get the fuck out of here.
So like to be charitable to Jeff, then I think his comment would be, I'm saying that Rufus was the number one guy you guys are bitching about. Rufus was the guy who was against touts, always shitting on touts. Right. And now he goes off and does these two sites. So I'm just calling him on his bullshit.
Right.
I think that's what he would say.
Right.
But for the ETR stuff, projections is not touting for DFS. It's not. Touting for DFS is like we said, some imposter giving out lineups for $10 or whatever. I'm not even convinced that someone saying Mike Trout is going to have a good game. Like, okay, fine. I guess that's a tout. Yeah. But I think it's more like nefarious for me, the definition of tout. But again, what is the definition of a tout? Maybe that'd be a good Twitter poll.
Well, I feel the same way as you, because if you extend that analogy, if you say someone, Jeff, or who's the baseball player you just referenced?
Mike Trout.
What team does he play for?
The Angels.
The Angels. So say, what if I start listening to an Angels podcast? It's not a DFS podcast, just an MLB thing. And the guy says, I think Mike Trout's going to have a great season this year. Is he touting?
Yeah, he's stating the obvious, but yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's fucking a sports bro saying what they think. Like, I mean, this conversation happens on ESPN. It happens across fan podcasts. Everyone gives their opinion on what now that's touting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy. But like half of the time, they're not even trying to persuade you. Like Wilson on Twitter, right? He gives out picks all the time. He's not like, oh, please bet these, right?
Yeah.
Like you bet them if you want. Here's what I'm betting. That's right. Is that a tout?
I guess people.
What if he charged a dollar?
Do I think he should go to jail? Hell no. If he charged a dollar, I guess you could start to say that's more touty because you're profiting directly from your picks.
So what would be a good Twitter poll? Like what? So nefarious in charging money.
Mm-hmm.
Just charging money or just saying who you like. I guess those are kind of the three touts, right? Am I missing?
Yeah, I feel like For me, the recipes would be charging. Uh-huh. It would be basically giving someone fish instead of like teaching them to fish or giving them like pieces of it. If you're just like, so in that, and that's why in that example of like, I'm charging you a dollar for just like the fucking random ass picks I'm making. Mm-hmm. Like that feels touty to me.
I don't think the teaching the fish thing for me anyways, I don't think that matters for touting. Yeah. Cause unless you're touting, I will literally teach you how to play. And then you don't teach them how to play.
Right.
Cause if you're just saying, give me $5 and I'll give you a winner today. No reasonable person is going, oh, this is going to make me be a long-term winner. They're just trying to make some money real quick.
Because
I think when it's nefarious, where I'm going to give you a winner and I'm just making this shit up. Like I'm just pulling shit out of my ass.
Yeah.
Like that. But again, that's kind of probably an extreme definition of touting. But I think it's too loose to just say if someone posts, I like the Bears tomorrow on their Twitter. That's just the guy. He's not persuading anybody. If I like Mike, tell you I like Mike Trout, that's like, it does not matter. And any, you know, I think it's got to be money and maybe nefariousness should go. Because touting is a negative connotation.
For sure.
And just charging money, unless you're a communist, is not that bad. It's actually a good thing. Like, because it is a way to show where resources are valuable and all sorts of other things, and to incentivize people to do valuable things.
And that's where I do really think the nefarious thing is really the rub here, right? Because let's use the extreme examples. Vegas Dave, you know, lying about his win records and the type of bets, the kind of risk of ruin Vegas mm-hmm. Dave is setting you up with minus 4,000 money line plays time after time to boost his win record. I would say the DFS equivalent too would be, you know, disingenuous screenshot posting from wins. You're hiding out the amount of entries or cost of your entries that it took to win that. You're blurring out, you know, the field size or whatever. You're misrepresenting, or you're selling a dream or something that is maybe mm-hmm. actually harder to achieve than people realize. To me, that's where you're in tout territory.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So maybe nefarious was too hard. Misrepresenting or misleading, something like that, I think kind of has to be in it before you call a guy a tout. So like that, again, even if you disagree, and you don't know anything about DFS and you say Rufus providing his DFS projections is touting, he's giving you his best stuff. And it's DFS. The numbers don't change, you know, unless weather dramatically changes. But you know what I mean? The salaries don't change. It's DFS. Those golf projections are going to – and by the way, I think they updated today. So, like, if it updates, if the weather updates or for whatever reason he updates, they update their stuff. So he's not being misleading in any way, even if you disagree with our opinion that providing DFS projections isn't touting. He's missing that key ingredient that the Vegas Daves of the world have.
Yeah. Yes. Alex is going to use our playbook. Maybe Brian, we release, how about this to really, you know, warp people's brains, the Lowell's guide to being a tout. And we sell it for $5.99.
So we're going to figure out the most misleading ways to sell your fake picks to people. Yeah. Then I would have to agree with Seville on that one, actually.
Yeah.
That's probably no good.
Yes. And like, this is a good, you know, MJ says here, people claiming to give out winners is touting. And that, I think that's another thing too. If you're guaranteeing outcomes that cannot actually be guaranteed, that falls into touting for me.
Well, let me read that again. People claiming to give out winners is touting at the end of the day. Okay. Yeah.
Like if you're telling people like these are the winners for today.
I think that is an inherent with misleading.
Right.
Because if you say, I like the Bears +3 tomorrow, you're not giving out the winners. You're just fucking saying, I like the Bears. You're not trying to persuade anybody. If you're like saying, this is a guarantee, like, you know that there's no such thing as a goddamn guarantee.
Yeah. The irony too with DFS touting, and I guess this happens a little bit with us best ball bros in Zero RB, but same with like DFS touting. Like if you're touting what are actually good plays, they're generally probably going to be like pretty low owned. And a lot of touting skews more toward chalk because it's safer, right? Your risk of blowback from people in touting chalk is far less than if you tout the 1% guy that doesn't hit, even though the payoff of when that 1% guy hits is so outsized that do you kind of see what I'm getting at with that?
Yes. No. Okay. So there is, yeah, we're putting that in DFS tout category. That's right. So when they give out every play in the book, it's like, well, I like this guy and this guy. And then this range, I like this guy and this guy. Like on golf, they give out like 25 picks. It's like, that's like, that's the entire field, bro. You can't just give out every cover both sides. It's like picking MMA and like picking both sides of the fight.
Yeah.
It's like, well, of course you're going to be right.
Yeah.
That's touting.
I mean, crypto touts about to be the most talked. I mean, I would say too, like, if you want to talk about like crypto and NFT touts, I mean, that's like true touting in a nutshell for sure.
Yeah. That's a whole another poll right there. Worms. NFT, yeah. NFT, Bitcoin maxis, ETH maxis, and what's another one we could put in there? Oh, like the Shiba Doge Bros.
Well, you remember from like altcoin season back in 2017, right? Like there were videos on YouTube that were like titled "The Next 4 Altcoins to Go to the Moon," and they'd have like legit 500,000 views. Like,
wow,
just complete absurdity. That was also when the whole BitConnect thing was going down. You'd like to think the market matured, and then literally we just had a Ponzi stable collapse this week.
But this whole economy is a goddamn clown economy. Come on.
It is.
You can't, man. I can't. I keep going back to the coin market cap, even while we're broadcasting.
You're looking at the charts?
Yeah, it's still going down.
I took it off my, I think I talked about this with Davis a long time ago. Like, I have this widget. I think it is actually Coin Market Cap's app, or I can't forget what it is. And when we're in a bull market, I put the widget on my home screen, you know, everybody
seeing
the charts. And then it was about a week ago, I slid that bad boy all off to like the fourth screen. And now I just don't look.
So Davis says you're the opposite. So I'm that way too, with checking my actual stuff during a bull market. I'll check my account all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not checking it during a bear market. He says most people are the opposite way. I'm not sure I agree with that.
Wait, he thinks most people are checking when it's bad. Like the punishment. Davis is more of a masochist than anybody, though.
Yeah, I think you called it. It's a little projection there.
I see. Like, Davis even had that tweet the other day. He had that tweet. How there's a part of it that.
Let's be honest. Davis is checking it both ways all day.
I have to
bull run, bear run.
No, look. Are we gonna take this guy's advice on or opinion on how people process their crypto portfolio? A sick part of me enjoys the anarchy of markets being down bad.
Oh, wow. It's him. Okay. It was projection.
No, like I get, like when I see people legitimately down bad, both emotionally and financially, like that's not fun. And that would be me too, in a lot of respects, if I was staring at it. Like I legit have to go out of sight, out of mind. It's like when I'm having a bad DFS slate and during the NFL season, I just fucking shut it down. And you know what? We'll review our lineups tomorrow, because like, I don't want to sit with that in me the whole afternoon. Evening. Yeah. It's just not good for your mental health.
How bad is that ruined red zone, man? When I'm like, I didn't make a lot of second half red zones this year, because I did my after the beginning of the NFL season didn't go hot for me. And it's like, well, I like, unless these two guys score 60 points each, I'm pretty much done at this point. So it's like,
whew. Yeah,
go to YouTube, turn off red zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Travis says, I was the same way. I was okay with the Bored Apes getting smoked because I'm jealous, but now here I am too. The thing that I learned very quickly with that, it's like the Bored Apes now is the top dog, is like, we need them succeeding, because in a lot of ways the market is going to follow them. Like if Bored Apes go to zero, like so much fucking shit is going to zero.
Everything else is worthless. I mean, it's tough to tell. Like I was like with this attack on Luna, was Bitcoin going down all from this guy shorting Bitcoin, like a lot of people are claiming, Or is it just because it's tied to the market still and the market's shitting the bed?
That's what I don't know. I mean, I always am skeptical. I think, isn't that the most, like, we naturally want reasons for market movements, but these are like very complex things with so many variables driving it. The vibe I got was there was a macro pull down and then this just kind of accelerated it, you know, was throwing lighter fluid on top of an already not great situation. That would just be my guess.
Yeah. That's probably the most believable for me.
Yeah.
It was going down either way, but this just made it even worse.
Oh, baby. I just got breaking news sent to me on Twitter. Another veteran is coming in as a tryout for the Bucks rookie minicamp. None other than running back Patrick Laird. Right when Gio Bernard's too old. Rashad White's just a rookie that Tom Brady's not going to love. Do you know who Tom can trust in pass protection? It's none other than our boy, Patrick Laird, the new starting third down back for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Let's go, Brian.
I like how he added the last three seasons to give him like a nice little stat line. 36 catches, 244.
Any way you slice it, that guy pops on paper.
That's 36 more catches than I'll ever have.
Yeah.
He scored some tutties too, right?
Yeah, he scored his first tutty from Tua.
I love that in baseball when like an older guy gets a cup of coffee and he hits a home run.
Yeah.
I just love that. Like, you got your homer, man. That's fucking sweet. Doesn't matter. You know, obviously you'd hope, you know, he wants a good career and you hope he has a good career, but you got that home run in the big leagues. Congratulations. Were you just going to click on that Ariana Grande clickbait? You couldn't help yourself.
Ariana Grande wore a bra top to her brother's wedding. This is a story.
I was saying when we did the pod with Davis. It's like, why are these on my feed, Elon? Like, why do I care about Kim Kardashian? You know I don't care.
I mean,
obviously, attractive girl. That counts.
All right. This is going to get in Elon's world. This is going to get us in trouble. Goodness. Yeah. All the horn dogs. We save the true clickbait until the end of the stream.
Yes. If you want your numbers to go up, we need to know what you got to do, Pete.
Yeah.
Naked yoga, pictures of hot girls on the
guys. I'm not a horn dog. I just wanted to see if what she wore to her brother's wedding was inappropriate or not.
I saw your mouse hovering over there. Felt like it was like a natural reaction for you.
Yeah. You know, my camera, I do have to go without my camera here for a little bit for the rest of the show, Brian.
Oh my god.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my god.
Come for the Jeff Ma takes. Nothing the Ariana Grande jokes.
Nothing like mixing your gambling up with half naked women. Actually, I guess that happens all the time. That juxtaposition with like MMA, where like you'll see what's his name? Ferguson, who just got knocked out like a bad unconscious for like felt like a full minute or two.
Yeah.
And then what's her name? April. God damn it. I can't remember the ring girl.
Okay. I don't know her name,
I can't remember her name. Unbelievable. Anyways. And then this just beautiful girls, just like third round, you know,
yeah, as if not the brutality just
killed a man. And this half naked, super attractive girl. Okay. All right. I don't know what to feel here. I know.
Oh my goodness. Did you have a good MMA slate on Saturday?
I should have, but that Rose,
Cerrone.
Yeah. What was the other girl? I can't remember her name. That was the literal worst MMA fight of all time.
Yeah.
Not for just DFS purposes either. I can't imagine there's going to be a lower scoring 5-round fight where the winner gets 52 points.
That's absurd.
Esparza, that's right.
Normally in the bad ones, you're still at minimum getting what, like 65, 70 points from a winner?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 50 is really bad even for a three rounder. Because I had 60 some percent of that Lupe girl who was only 10% owned.
Yeah.
And she was the nuts. Like, she had like 100, almost 130 points scored, like in the second fight. In the second fight after the Cowboy Cerrone fight got canceled, 96% of lineups were dead.
Goodness.
And I had 60% of the girl who no one had. So I was like, okay, this could play out very well for me. But that I needed that one fight and it didn't happen. But I probably would have won, I guess, if that was semi-solid.
Denden wants to know if you're going to become a best ball bro now that it's the safest way to store your money.
It probably is. I'm definitely going to play a few this year. I just need to get this app finished. Because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, guys. I don't read all the news and know who's on what team. I need help. I need rankings. And
do you need a best ball tout in your life?
And a best ball tout that I have to pay for. No, I want it free. Wouldn't you want to pay, though? Wouldn't you, like, forget touting in general? But, like, if someone's going to, like, come and, like, you know, fix your air conditioner, would you be okay if, like, no, I'll do it for free? You don't know them.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I don't want to go to a restaurant and buy a lobster roll that costs $4 because I'm going to immediately think it's really shitty lobster. I want to spend fucking $28 for that lobster. And I want to get just a little dollop because it's so fucking rich and delicious that that's all they can serve me for that price.
Would you want a doctor who takes out your appendix to not charge? Or maybe, you know, they want to get paid for that service.
A lot of bad doctor touts out there.
Yeah. Like, no. Listen, I know how to do this and I'll do it for free. You know, I think I'll pay.
I'm excited, like, for your best ball app, though. The some of the things that you're getting in there, I think, is going to be very, very helpful to us high volume drafters.
Yeah, we should do. We talked about this, Pete, was try to bring back multi-tabling. I just act like poker doesn't exist anymore. I know people still multi-table poker. I just don't pay attention. Do multi-tabling best ball drafts and see, like, the most someone can handle.
Yeah.
Live stream it.
Well, I had this debate with, I think it was Liam who won Best Ball Mania last year. He said he was multi-tabling the puppy drafts. I tried a couple on stream. I tried doing two on stream, and I could easily do two by myself when I'm streaming and entertaining the chat and doing two. The degree of difficulty ratchets up. If your tool is able to do some of the things we've talked about, I think you could probably do four pretty solidly without making too many big mistakes.
Davis says he could do five without tools.
Of course. I mean, anyone can do it. Like, but it's like, can you draft actually fucking good teams? It's kind of like when Joey Ingram, way back when he did some of his insane multi-tabling challenges, there was a requirement that you had to have a positive ROI at the end of the session. Of course, anyone could fire up 12 tables, but are you actually drafting good teams?
And people are loving basketball, man. I looked at your channel here before we started, and you're getting like over 1,000 views on every single best ball video.
It's crazy, man. People fucking love it. Like, even on Ship Chasing last week, because Pat and Gretch are super in the weeds on a lot of these rookie prospects, and we're in dynasty season right now. People are doing rookie drafts, and it was like, okay, the draft ended. Let's talk about these guys, the landing spots, you know, from a dynasty perspective. And everyone's like, why aren't you guys drafting a best ball team? And I was like, we're going to be fucking drafting best ball teams all summer. And Pat's like, can we have 1 week to just, like, talk dynasty before drafting everything? Then we're doing it tonight. And everyone's like, yes, best ball draft. Like, people just fucking love it, dude.
Okay. Why not?
Yeah.
It takes like a full hour if you're live streaming it.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I did lose my mind when I multi-tabled two drafts and streamed it last time. We will run that back at some point. I am not wasting my BBM3 entries. I'm being very protective of those. I won't even let Spags have some of my bullets there. But once we get some of the puppy drafts, yeah, we can mess around with some challenges. Cooter Doodle wants a promo code. Cooter, I got nothing for you. I can't. It's on the tip of my tongue. But they will give you a deposit match.
Just put Brick 75. No, put Pete into anything, and then you probably will get a code. Like, even like things not related to gambling.
When is the schedule dropping? The NFL schedule comes out tomorrow evening.
What the hell is that? When Sheddington?
This is I know how to speak, Rick. Win is, you know, our crypto NFT, you know, our win packs. Schedules is little man's in there dropping the Z. Win schedules. I can translate, Rick, for you.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Why aren't you and Brian drafting a best ball team? We drafted a best ball team on one show.
We've done some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to try to get guests, though, the next couple weeks. We have to talk about it. But eventually we'll definitely. Probably closer to that's the sharper way, right? Do it when all the injuries are done.
Well, this has been a popular debate on best ball Twitter, which is now a thing right now. The kind of conventional wisdom is the barbell approach, drafting a bunch early when there's ADP values and things aren't quite as settled. Those have yielded the best chance at super teams, and then drafting right as close to the season starts as possible. And the barbell is nice because it would be so, like, I will not have the time if I was like, okay, it's optimal to draft all your teams 2 weeks before the season starts. I would not have the time to draft 150 teams in 2 weeks before the season starts. So it's like by necessity, you have to spread them out unless you're able to literally just take 2 weeks off before the season.
And my tweet calling best ball bros degens for drafting this early. That was two exceptions. It's going to be tough to get 150 in. You probably should draft a few now if you do plan on getting in your full 150, and two for content and kills for content. And that's fun, you know? It's fun, mate. That's another thing, too, about this tout shaming. Like, sports betting content sucks so bad. Like, you guys suck. Your community sucks. Like, try to have some fun. Like, DFS people are probably going to do sports betting content better than sports betting people.
Yeah.
And it's their own fucking fault. Not that we're going to do it, but somebody probably will. And it's kind of, if it's fun, you could do a fun sports betting show. I'm sure of it. And people like watching guys play poker. Is that touting? This is how I play a hand. That's touting now. Okay, fine. Then you just got rid of a big section of why poker became popular.
Yeah.
Poker would never been popular without whole card cameras.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I mean, I think we're probably preaching to the choir more or less with our audience, but it just felt so egregious, kind of some of that discourse from what I would consider a very smart person, and that I felt like it needed to be said, how absurd that was. Why we have to be out here defending Rufus, I don't know, but I guess we did.
Well, he's our guy. We like Rufus.
Yeah.
And the ETR guys and stuff. And I selfishly also wanted to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I didn't even bring that point up when you were mentioning about the thing and how I thought that was so unfair to Rufus and to ETR in general, to even just sow the seeds of worry or doubt with the subscribers who have signed up of like, oh, is this going to get rugged mid-season because Jeff is, you know, hanging this guilt over Rufus you know, like some of this stuff. I was like, that is not fair. And to those subscribers too, like, you pay for that. Like you said, you want it to continue existing. You paid for it. It went from being good marketing to ETR to, like, you know, being like potentially scary for their subs or thinking long-term about stuff. I just thought it was completely unfair of him.
Yeah, it was. It was like I said, they're both adults, and so I don't really have room commenting on their relationship. It seemed over the line, and I probably wouldn't have responded as nicely as Rufus did. And, you know, I wanted to say this too. Did you listen to it again or just that one time?
I only listened once.
Did he cut out the argument? It looked like it, when I listened to it, it seemed like he cut it out.
I thought I heard some of you guys talking about it in the Discord. I feel like what I heard didn't seem edited or cut, but what you guys heard made it seem like there was something that might've been edited. So maybe either what I heard was taken out or I have no idea, but it sounds like eventually there ended up being some editing.
Yeah. Well, if anyone thinks the same thing of me, tell me. And
yeah,
Tell me I'm crazy. Either way.
And we'll I mean, I don't think Rufus listens to this podcast, but if Rufus wants to come back on and defend his honor, and we can equip him with some more talking points in his favor, he's definitely more than welcome to.
Yeah, we love Rufus and Dylan here. My sports betting content take is the exact same as Davis's Elon take. Well, Davis is wrong and I'm not, so that's a big difference.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of Davis and Elon, did I just see another take cast with you guys come across the wire?
Yeah. Did he release it?
I saw it in my podcast feed. Yeah.
Oh, he released it fast. Yeah, we did. We did one, not a ton of Elon talk.
Wow.
Mainly crypto crash stuff. And what else do we talk? You know, like politics. They're just the typical podcast we normally do. It's good though. We're getting a groove. I think yeah. We're getting into a groove where he's less lib and I'm less libertarian, maybe. I don't know.
Wow. You're meeting in the middle. all right, guys, this was fun. Appreciate you as always. Real talk. Keep your mental health up. Slide your crypto widget off your phone to the back screen. And don't stare at it all day, despite what Davis might tell you to do.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a bummer. You're not the only one. Trust us.
Yeah. anything else, Brian, before we get out of here?
No, pod will be up. If you haven't subbed to the pod, please do. It's on every podcatcher. And I have a Twitch channel, streams this. And I'm trying eventually, when I get time, I'll do some stuff on there too. It's just my name, Brian Hooper.
There you go. I got the link down in the show notes as well. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us every Wednesday afternoon. We are here on YouTube, on Twitch, and if Brian has his way with Elon, on Twitter in the near future. We'll see you guys next time.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.